history, mankind has gone to the ends of the earth to chase the greatest treasures. Now, the final search begins for the most elusive prize of them all.
Yoo-hoo! Osama!
If I've learned anything from big-budget action movies, it's that complicated global problems are best solved by one lonely guy.
Where are you going to be going?
We're going to go look for Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
If I'm going to find Osama, then I'm going to be traveling to some pretty scary places. I'm looking for Osama bin Laden. Why is that funny?
We don't know whether he's in a cave with the door shut.
I was wondering if we could ask you a question.
Or a cave with the door open.
I got a tip on where to find his uncle, Mahfouz Azzam.
You wouldn't turn him in for the $25 million?
But I'm a wanderlust king.
It's impossible. Mission is impossible.
This is hardcore Taliban country.
There's 21 guys here with guns.
When whoever's escorting us says, let's go, it means go now.
Okay, go now!
We ask every time, hey, you guys know where Osama's at?
And they always point,
get to die, Osama.
So that way.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
There's nothing more romantic than fantasy. And we can make the war on terror distract them like videos and TV shows with scantily clad women. Cover them with oil, rub it in like lotion, put F-16s in the skies and battleships in the ocean. The voters won't notice. Tell them you're either with us or you're against us, and in the same breath over-vaccinate our soldiers. They'll want to believe these lies are true to the point that even Cynthia McKinney with proof won't be able to convince them that there's a connection between the war on terror and the Carlyle Group. They'll need to believe these lies are true. I said over-vaccinate our soldiers and coat their ammunition with radioactive DU. Fear is the final frontier of the defenseless. If it's logical, tell them it's senseless. You're either with us or you're against us. It's all about confusion. Name it the Patriot Act if it acts against the Constitution. One man, one vote is a joke. You should be more concerned about your family going broke. Poof. Mirrors, smoke. Now, watch me raise spending and lower taxes. The answer to any question that the 911 commission might ask is, we believe stem cell research is immoral. North Korea has WMDs, translation, time for operation, Iraqi freedom, sacrifice American lives on Baghdad soil, earn more from our investments in defense and increase our supply of oil. The question is, how come we haven't done anything about the genocide in Darfur? The answer is, we believe in protecting the sanctity of marriage. No, no child left behind. Wait, just give them a slogan. Let's roll. We're gonna smoke them out of their holes. Watch the hands, watch the hands. In this hand, Osama bin Laden. In this hand, the World Trade Center explodes. Now, I know you want me to get them for you, but the $200 billion question is, how much is it worth to you for me to allow my cronies' investments in defense to work for you? Don't worry about what we knew prior to the fact about the attack. That's a distraction. Carol Ann, look away from the oil fields. The important thing to remember is that voting for my opponent will get you killed. There's a connection between his election and your family's demise. That's why African-American voters have to be disenfranchised. Neo-democracy means that the electronic voting machine companies get to help us decide. That way you can win the election and still lose. That's the new world order. Global economy, no borders, no sovereignty. Widow's cries, corporate plutocracy. True lies.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
A year ago, bin Laden took refuge here in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is perhaps the only country in the world that will accept him.
Our quest to meet bin Laden begins in Peshawar, Pakistan, and then across the Khyber Pass to Jalalabad, Afghanistan, where we wait for several days. Finally, bin Laden's media advisor arrives. We are allowed to take our lights and sound equipment, but not our camera. There have been assassination attempts against bin Laden, and his security force worries our camera might contain a tracking device that would give away his location. The interview will be conducted with their camera. As best as we can reconstruct it, this is the route that we took to meet bin Laden. We are put in a minivan with curtained windows and drive west. As night falls, we move to a four-wheel drive vehicle that makes its way up a rough mountain path past checkpoints manned by heavily armed men. We are searched and electronically scanned to ensure that we're not carrying a tracking device. About 5,000 feet up is a small hut. We are allowed about an hour and a half with bin Laden. We have submitted questions in advance. He agrees to answer most of them, but does not allow follow-up questions.
Mr. bin Laden, you have declared a jihad against the United States. Can you tell us why?
The U.S. government has committed acts that are extremely unjust, hideous, and criminal through its support of the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And we believe the U.S. is directly responsible for those killed in Palestine, Lebanon, and Iraq. Due to its subordination to the Jews, the arrogance of the United States regime has reached the point that they occupied Arabia, the holiest place of the Muslims, who are more than a billion people in the world today. For this and other acts of aggression and injustice, we have declared jihad against the U.S.
Is the jihad directed against the U.S. government? Or United States troops in Arabia? What about U.S. civilians in Arabia or the people of the United States?
We have focused our declaration of jihad on striking at the U.S. soldiers inside Arabia, the country of the two holy places, Mecca and Medina. In our religion, it is not permissible for any non-Muslim to stay in Arabia. Therefore, even though American civilians are not targeted in our plan, they must leave. We do not guarantee their safety.
Can you believe what you have been seeing on CNN today, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it? Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, his top lieutenants and colonels and generals in their hideout. This is a CNN reporter with a camera crew. And he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel. Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years and can't find him. The FBI also, under the leadership of Louis Freeh, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years and years and years and many years and can't find him. Some doofus jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him. Now, that tells us two things. Either everyone in the intelligence community and all of the intelligence agencies of the United States government are blithering idiots and incompetent fools, including the entire apparatus of the FBI and all of their personnel, or they're lying to us. They're not looking for him at all. And the second is the truth. You see, the CIA created Osama bin Laden. They recruited him. They trained him. They found his leadership. They brought them all together. They showed them how to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. And when that was over, they still continued to fund him and train him. And they're now using him to help bring about world government by making him the big boogeyman because they can't use Saddam Hussein anymore. Did you ever hear of Osama bin Laden before you heard of Saddam Hussein? When did you start hearing of Osama bin Laden? It was after Saddam Hussein and Iraq were supposedly neutralized in the Gulf War because they needed a new boogeyman. But they're not looking for Osama bin Laden, because I'm telling you right now, if I were the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, within 2 weeks I would have him dead or in custody without fail, without fail. If I had those assets and that money, he would be mine. I would own his terrorist ass within 2 weeks without fail. A reporter from CNN and his little camera crew got in to Osama bin Laden's secret hideout and conducted an interview. If you don't believe me, tune into CNN. They're probably running it right now as I'm speaking. And if you believe it, you are one of the stupidest jerks that ever lived on the face of this earth. And whatever is going to happen that they're going to blame on Osama bin Laden, don't you even believe it.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
And so once again, my dear Johnny, my dear friend. And so once again, you are fighting us all. And when I ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry and I fall. Oh my friend, how did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum?
If I were still president, we'd have more than 20,000 troops there trying to kill him. Now, I've never criticized President Bush, and I don't think this is useful. But you know, we do have a government that thinks Afghanistan is only one-seventh as important as Iraq. And you ask me about terror and al-Qaeda with that sort of dismissive thing, when all you have to do is read Richard Clark's book to look at what we did in a comprehensive, systematic way to try to protect the country against terror. And you got that little smirk on your face, and you think you're so clever. But I had responsibility for trying to protect this country. I tried, and I failed to get bin Laden. I regret it, but I did try. And I did everything I thought I responsibly could. The entire military was against sending special forces into Afghanistan and refueling by helicopter. And no one thought we could do it otherwise, because we could not get the CIA and the FBI to certify that al-Qaeda was responsible while I was president. And so I left office. And yet, I get asked about this all the time. They had three times as much time to deal with it, and nobody ever asked them about it. I think that's strange.
Can I ask you about the Clinton Global Initiative?
You can.
You say I have turned like the enemies you earned. But I can remember all the good things you are. And so I ask you please, can I help you find the peace and the star? Oh my friend, what time is this to trade the handshake for the fist?
Where is Osama bin Laden?
You only been there for 8 years, you tell me. You lost him in Tora Bora, I didn't. I was in prison. In fact, my wife warned America about Osama bin Laden in 89. She rang up Senior Bush and asked of him, are you destabilizing my government? Because he paid the then opposition $10 million to overthrow for the first woman elected in an Islamic country. So we knew that he was your operator. And
so you're not actively looking for him?
I think the world is looking for him, and we are part of the world's lookout brigade.
Do you think he's alive or dead?
I've said before that I don't think he's alive.
And you believe that?
I have a strong feeling, and I have sort of reason to believe that, because I've asked my counterparts in the American intelligence agencies, and they haven't heard of him since 7 years.
And so once again, oh America, my friend. And so once again, you are fighting us all. And when we ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry and we fall. Oh my friend, how did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum?
Washington CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart has news of Osama bin Laden. Jim?
Dan, al-Qaeda appears to be trying to send a message to the United States on this day on which we observe September the 11th. The message appears in a posting that just went up on a website that comes out of the Sudan, widely acknowledged to be the voice of al-Qaeda, or at least one of several voices of al-Qaeda. Although we cannot verify this is a direct message from the organization, it does say that Osama bin Laden is dead. It reports that he died December the 9th during a U.S. bombing raid on the Tora Bora Mountains. It quotes an eyewitness to the death who says that approximately 10 groups of 30 al-Qaeda fighters in a series of caves were hit by a large bomb, and that Osama bin Laden died in that attack.
You say we have turned like the enemies you've earned, but we can remember all the good things you are. And so we ask you please, can we help you find the peace and the star? Oh, my friend, we have all come to fear the beating of your drum.
Think of it as a conspiracy theory true or false test. A. When George W. Bush started his first oil company, who helped fund it? Osama bin Laden's brother and brother-in-law. True or false? B. After a terrorist bomb at a barracks in Saudi Arabia killed 19 Americans, who got the multi-million dollar contract to rebuild? The bin Ladens. True or false? C. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, who was in a meeting at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Washington? George Bush Sr. and Osama bin Laden's brother. True or false? Actually, the answer could be D, all of the above. Because believe it or not, as far-fetched as they sound, each and every one of those things, the bin Laden link to the Bush Oil Company, the bin Laden construction contract after the terrorist bomb, and the bin Laden-Bush meeting on 9/11, is true. And what that means is that on that awful morning 2 years ago, the day everything seemed to change, the world was already a far more complicated place than most of us could even imagine. In order to truly understand what happened on September the 11th and the close relationship between the Bushes, the bin Ladens, and the rest of the Saudi elite, you have to go back about 25 years and south a couple of thousand kilometers to Houston, Texas, where in the mid-1970s, George W. Bush was a young man just trying to learn the ropes in his family's two businesses, politics and oil. The Bushes were a pillar of Houston society. George Sr. struck it rich in oil, became a congressman, then director of the Central Intelligence Agency, where it's said he first won the friendship of the Saudi royal family by arranging CIA training for their palace guards. And George Jr. was trying to follow in his father's footsteps. A Harvard business grad, he dabbled in politics and the Texas Air National Guard. And it was about the same time that a man named Bill White, a former fighter pilot with a Harvard MBA himself, was recruited to work in Houston with someone with business and personal connections to both George Bushes. His name was Jim Bath.
This fellow, James R. Bath, needed someone to run a series of real estate companies that would be grubstaked by not only the political families, but also by some foreign nationals, the Saudis. And so I came down on an interview, and met Jim.
They opened an office in downtown Houston, where Bill White became Jim Bath's partner and confidant. But White says Bath spent most of his time dealing with his foreign partners, a wealthy Saudi family, the Bin Ladens.
He also ran a company in the same building called Bin Laden and Associates, which Jim explained was a procurement company for the Saudis. He bought a bank for them, he bought an airport for them, he started an airline for them, among other ventures in Houston, Texas.
Now at that point, had you ever heard the name Bin Laden?
No, I had not.
Meant nothing to you?
Meant nothing to me.
But in Saudi Arabia, the Bin Laden's name meant a great deal indeed. They owned one of the largest Saudi construction companies. They were advisors to the royal family. They were the second richest family next to the royals, with billions of dollars to invest abroad in places like Houston, where the Bush family lives. They moved into this estate in one of Houston's finest neighborhoods. A Bin Laden brother named Salim Bin Laden and a brother-in-law, Khalid Bin Mahfouz. Mahfouz was also one of the Saudi royal family's bankers.
So is it fair to say that when the Bin Laden group establishes an office in Houston, the presence of the Bush family at that point had a lot to do with it?
Oh, absolutely. I think that was essential, the essential element. I don't think any of those dollars would have come into the United States or any of those assets been purchased had not there been this quid pro quo relationship with the Bush family.
While the Bin Ladens built their ties to Texas, back home in Saudi Arabia, they were making another kind of foreign investment. In 1979, the Soviet Union occupied Afghanistan. The Saudi royal family wanted to build a Muslim army, known as the Mujahideen, to defend Islam and force the Russians out. They turned to their trusted advisors, the Bin Ladens, who offered up a lanky 21-year-old named Osama.
Would it be possible to work with the terrorists to say, yo, here's a building that we're going to demolish anyway. Go, have your fun with it, do whatever you want, but just don't do the other ones.
So I sent back a letter saying that while these groups may be used, I thought it was more important to go after the people who supported them, who organized them, who could possibly be the financiers or the organizers of the finance for those groups. And I named three individuals who I thought were their sympathizers. Now I understand that I could be wrong and my suspicions could be misplaced, but these are the people that I suspect want to stop the restoration of democracy. They want to stop my return because they know in 1993, when Pakistan was on the brink of being declared a terrorist state, I stopped the rise of terrorism, and they know that I can do it again. So I feel that these are the forces that really want to stop not just me, but the democratic process and the will of the people from triumphing.
And in terms of these three people that you mentioned, were they members of or associated with the government?
Yes, well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He's a former military officer. He's someone that has had dealings with Jaish-e-Mohammed, one of the banned groups, with Maulana Azhar, who was in an Indian jail for decapitating three British tourists and three American tourists. And he also had dealings with Omar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden. Now, I know that having dealings with people does not necessarily mean direct evidence, but I also know that internal security has totally collapsed in Pakistan and that internal security cannot collapse without there being some blind eye, if not collusion, being turned to the rise of the militants and militancy. Not only are our tribal areas out of our control, but even the beautiful valley of Swat is now under takeover by Islamists. So I would like to see a park-led police inquiry assisted by Scotland Yard or the FBI come in, use their forensic and scientific explanation to find out not only the perpetrators, but the financiers and the organizers of this heinous crime that killed 158 innocent people.
Deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run, if he's alive at all. And who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. Terror is bigger than one person. And he's a person who's now been marginalized. So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I mean, this is a guy who 3 months ago was in control of a country. Now he's maybe in control of a cave. He's on the run. Listen, a while ago I said to the American people, our objective is more than bin Laden. But one of the things for certain is we're going to get him running and keep him running and bring him to justice.
Taliban in Afghanistan, they have offered that they are ready to hand over Osman bin Laden to Saudi Arabia if United States drops its sanctions and some kind of deal that they want to make with the United States. So you have any comments?
Let me take that and get back to you on that.
There is no record of any subsequent discussion on that matter.
Mr. President, in your speeches now, you rarely talk or mention Osama bin Laden. Why is that? Also, can you tell the American people you have any more information if you know if he is dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
Final part here. Deep in your heart, don't you truly believe that until you find out if he is dead or alive, you won't really eliminate the threat of
him? Deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run if he's alive at all. And who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. And the idea of focusing on one person is really indicates to me people don't understand the scope of the mission. Terror is bigger than one person. And he's a person who's now been marginalized. His network is, his host government has been destroyed. He's the ultimate parasite who found weakness, exploited it, and met his match. As I mentioned in my speeches, I do mention the fact that this is a fellow who is willing to commit youngsters to their death, and he himself tries to hide, if in fact he's hiding at all. So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you. I'm more worried about making sure that our soldiers are well supplied, that the strategy is clear, that the coalition is strong. Of course we're after Saddam Hussein, bin Laden.
Are we ever going to find bin Laden?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And you're confident based on?
Because we got a lot of people looking for him, a lot of assets out there, and you can't run forever. Just like the people who allegedly were involved in the East African bombings. A couple of them were brought to justice.
Did we ever come close?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
You don't know, or you?
I really don't know. I'm not trying to hide anything. There's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, Wanted, Dead or Alive. And I don't know where he is. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
This week we learned the CIA plans to shut down the unit charged with finding public enemy number one, Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Why don't you arrange separate flights for terrorists, so if they is gonna do this terrible behavior, let them ruin their own trip?
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated. Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate what they see right here in this chamber, a democratically elected government. Their leaders are self-appointed. They hate our freedoms, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our freedom to vote and assemble and disagree with each other. They want to overthrow existing governments in many Muslim countries, such as Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. They want to drive Israel out of the Middle East. They want to drive Christians and Jews out of vast regions of Asia and Africa. These terrorists kill not merely to end lives, but to disrupt and end a way of life. With every atrocity, they hope that America grows fearful, retreating from the world and forsaking our friends. They stand against us because we stand in their way. We're not deceived by their pretenses to piety. We have seen their kind before. They are the heirs of all the murderous ideologies of the 20th century. By sacrificing human life to serve their radical visions, by abandoning every value except the will to power, they follow in the path of fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. And they will follow that path all the way to where it ends, in history's unmarked grave of discarded lies. We will direct every resource at our command, every means of diplomacy, every tool of intelligence, every instrument of law enforcement, every financial influence, and every necessary weapon of war, to the disruption and to the defeat of the global terror network. Now, this war will not be like the war against Iraq a decade ago, with a decisive liberation of territory and a swift conclusion. It will not look like the air war above Kosovo 2 years ago, where no ground troops were used and not a single American was lost in combat. Our response involves far more than instant retaliation and isolated strikes. Americans should not expect one battle, but a lengthy campaign, unlike any other we have ever seen. It may include dramatic strikes, visible on TV, and covert operations, secret even in success. We will starve terrorists of funding, turn them one against another, drive them from place to place, until there is no refuge or no rest. And we will pursue nations that provide aid or safe haven to terrorism. Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists. Great harm has been done to us. We have suffered great loss. And in our grief and anger, we have found our mission and our moment. Freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom, the great achievement of our time and the great hope of every time, now depends on us. Our nation, this generation, will lift a dark threat of violence from our people and our future. We will rally the world to this cause by our efforts, by our courage. We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail. I will not forget the wound to our country and those who inflicted it. I will not yield. I will not rest. I will not relent in waging this struggle for freedom and security for the American people. The course of this conflict is not known, yet its outcome is certain. Freedom and fear, justice and cruelty have always been at war, and we know that God is not neutral between them. Fellow citizens, we'll meet violence with patient justice, assured of the rightness of our cause and confident of the victories to come. In all that lies before us, may God grant us wisdom, and may He watch over the United States of America.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerers of death's construction. In the fields the bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning our brainwashed minds. Oh Lord, yeah.
Thank you all.
Get him, George.
I want you all to know you can't go any louder. I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon. The nation sends its love and compassion.
God bless America!
To everybody who is here, thank you for your hard work. Thank you for making the nation proud. And may God bless America.
Hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave that role to the pawn. Time will tell. Making war just for fun, treating people just like pawns in chess.
Wait till that judgment day comes.
Osama bin Laden is just one person. He is representative of networks of people who absolutely have made their cause to defeat the freedoms that we take that we understand, and we will not allow him to do so.
Do you want bin Laden dead?
I want him held. I want justice. And there's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, "Wanted, dead or alive."
A new online message from Osama bin Laden. He's urging a Muslim holy war against Israel in response to Israel's offensive in Gaza. ABC's Rhonda Schwartz joins us now with more details. Rhonda, what can you tell us about this latest message from bin Laden?
Well, this is the first message from bin Laden in 7 months. It's an audio tape released on the internet this morning on the eve of the presidential inauguration. And the first part of the tape, he talks about Israel's attacks on Gaza, but he goes on to challenge the heir to Bush. He does not name President-elect Obama, but he challenges him, will he have the will to go on fighting?
And Rhonda, how sure are we that this message is genuine?
Senior U.S. officials have confirmed this morning they have no reason to believe the tape is not authentic.
I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. It was nearly 10 years ago that a bright September day was darkened by the worst attack on the American people in our history. The images of 9/11 are seared into our national memory. Hijacked planes cutting through a cloudless September sky, the Twin Towers collapsing to the ground, black smoke billowing up from the Pentagon, the wreckage of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the actions of heroic citizens saved even more heartbreak and destruction. And yet we know that the worst images are those that were unseen to the world. The empty seat at the dinner table, children who were forced to grow up without their mother or their father, parents who would never know the feeling of their child's embrace, nearly 3,000 citizens taken from us, leaving a gaping hole in our hearts. On September 11th, 2001, in our time of grief, the American people came together. We offered our neighbors a hand, and we offered the wounded our blood. We reaffirmed our ties to each other and our love of community and country. On that day, no matter where we came from, what God we prayed to, or what race or ethnicity we were, we were united as one American family. We were also united in our resolve to protect our nation and to bring those who committed this vicious attack to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
Now in darkness, world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, world is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercy for their sins. Laughing spreads his wings.
The hijackers were instruments of evil who died in vain. Behind them is a cult of evil which seeks to harm the innocent and thrives on human suffering. Theirs is the worst kind of cruelty. The cruelty that is fed, not weakened, by tears. Theirs is the worst kind of violence. Pure malice while daring to claim the authority of God. We cannot fully understand the designs and power of evil. It is enough to know that evil, like goodness, exists. And in the terrorist, evil has found a willing servant. Evil has found a willing servant.
Evil has found a willing servant.
Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Headlines tonight. Osama is dead. Long live Obama, or something like that. Yes, Osama bin Laden, world hide and seek champion 2001 to 2011, has finally been found, cornered and executed. Killed by US Special Forces. Or Osama bin Laden was killed in 2001, if you believe Benazir Bhutto. Or he was arrested in 2003, if you believe Pakistan intelligence leaks. Or he was killed in 2005, according to neoconservative commentator Michael Levine. Or he died in 2006 of illness, if you believe the French newspaper Le Républicain. Or he was killed in 2009, if you believe Pakistan's president Asif Ali Zardawi. I'm confused. Is he really dead now? Really? No body or pictures of a body have been released. But according to the American government, he is dead. And it's a jolly good day for America that he is. The American government. Stalwarts of honesty and believable announcements on global events. If you can't believe them... The official story of the raid has been changed so often you've got to wonder how they keep a straight face when they spew this pish. He was armed. No, he wasn't. His wife was a human shield. No, she wasn't. The Navy SEALs were fired on. No, they weren't. The president watched the whole thing. Some of the cameras blacked out. And so on and so on. Anyway, the announcement of the death of Osama was well received around the world. President Barack Obama said, "Justice. Had been done." Really? That was justice? 25 heavily armed men abseil into somebody's home, shoot an unarmed man in the head, dump his body at sea, no trial, no summation of charges, no right to a jury of your peers, no defense counsel, etc. Blah, blah, blah. Wow, justice has come a long way since I were a little boy. In reply to accusations of political execution, deception, and obfuscation, the US government says Osama was named by many people we tortured as the mastermind of evil on Earth, and some of the moon evil as well. But the main reason for killing him was he resisted arrest. He resisted arrest? Shit, what did he do? Run around the bed? You can't catch me. Come get me. The compound where Osama was imprisoned, hiding, was built in 2003 with high walls and CCTV cameras around its helicopter landing pads. Grounds. I expect Osama chose this as his hiding place because of its proximity to Pakistan's military bases and difficult escape routes out of town into the hills. Or maybe he liked his cramped cell, room, with no way of communicating to the outside world. Maybe he wanted a hideout that offered no safety from airborne assault. After all, America never uses helicopters for special ops. Or do they? Almost unbelievable. Osama's death topped a special weekend for the powers that be. The royal wedding in London, the beatification of the old Pope in Rome, and the mission to execute slash capture bin Laden commanded in Washington. The events sealed Beltane weekend celebrations for the Masonic voodoo tribe that inhabits these city-states. I can just imagine them feeding on our collective energy signatures with their trousers rolled up, mumbling something about the great architect while they wank onto a biscuit one of them will be eating for coming last. More on that story later.
And starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Dillon.
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what ish will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any ish you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
In the town of Zawiya today, 40 miles west of Tripoli, at least 10 people were reportedly killed in fighting. But some of the worst violence has been here in Benghazi, where hospitals are filled with wounded.
I can't manage how many did. Exactly, yes, more than 300. The Benghazi and injured patient, more than 3,000.
Doctors say the victims were shot with bullets and anti-aircraft rounds. Many were executed at close range. But today, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi downplayed the violence and offered a radically different explanation in a bizarre and revealing radio address. We were in a car as he spoke. His words were slurred. He mumbled with long pauses. I've listened to speeches in Arabic of Middle East leaders for 15 years. This did not sound like a sane person.
Gaddafi is speaking now on state radio. It's very difficult to follow. He's all over the place. He's already mentioned the Kurds in northern Iraq, the Unabomber, India, and says the people carrying out this revolt are taking drugs that make them insane.
In the address, Gaddafi claimed Al-Qaeda is behind the revolt. Osama bin Laden is slipping Libyans hallucinogenic pills in coffee with milk, and that the pills are distributed in mosques with help from the United States.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.